Take your Bibles and turn over to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. Glad to be in the house of God. Glad you're here today. God sure has been good to us getting us here. And as we're in Joshua chapter 4, we're going to look down at verse 10. Joshua chapter 4, down at verse 10. We're going to pick up that. As you're turning there, this chapter deals with the memorials of the crossing where the children of Israel crossed over Jordan. Key verse is verse 8, says, "And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there." We get to the 24 verses, 706 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible, this particular chapter in a 12.2 grade level. And I said we was going verse by verse, real slow. Because we want everybody to get in on it. As the Holy Ghost leads. So we had that in Sunday school. I'm still in with that Holy Ghost. So what's that mean? That's a spiritual way to say Holy Ghost. Right? If we was uppity, we'd say the Holy Spirit. The country, Holy Ghost. Listen, just for the record, for you folks that are here, there's none of you can be uppity here because you know where we all live. I heard there was an uppity crowd once, and I said, "Where do you live at again?" I said, "Gaffney." I said, "Okay." I said, "Holy Ghost, even in the city." All right, verse 10 is where we're going to pick up at. It says, "For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan, until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho." As we look in the Word of God today, I want to preach to you today on priorities of believers. And I want to draw the examples that we're getting, the priorities, right from this text. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do come to you today. And Lord, we thank you for letting us be here and be alive. And we pray today, God, while we're here, that God, that you'll use our time together, Lord, to encourage everybody here and help us to go on for you. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you'd help us understand the Word of God according to Psalm 119, verse number 18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." God, that you'd help us all understand by your assigned teacher, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. I pray today, God, that you'll move on us and help us today, God, and do a great work in our lives. Lord, help me preach today according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, that Jesus Christ may get all the glory, honor, and praise for us. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look in this chapter today, and we look in these verses today, we want to look at the priorities of believers. A priority is something that goes first. You and I have got our priorities all messed up. There are probably Christians in this building that you are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, saved by the grace of God. You've had the experience of seeing God work in your life, but yet there are things in your life that are priorities that you never take care of. I'm not talking about cutting your grass, although some of you need to cut your grass. Amen and amen. I'm not talking about, you think that's funny about your husband. Well, guess what? Some of you need to clean your house up. And I ain't just talking about, you know. Everybody looking at everybody now. But that ain't what I'm talking about. But you do need to clean up your house. Amen right there. You children. Y'all had homework assigned to you Friday afternoon. Today's Sunday. You should have did it Friday. What, you parents afraid to shout your children might get mad at you? You ain't their friend anyway. You're the parent. Amen. They never did say to me, "Hey, let's go buddy up." I said, "No, get her to do your homework." That's how it went at the house. I don't know how you went with it. Or actually, I was around my grandma and grandpa a lot. You know what they'd say? Go get your schooling done, boy. So what'd that mean? I knew exactly what that meant, and I figured it out when I didn't do it. Get them lessons. That's what they'd say. Get them lessons. Go get your schooling done. But as we look at priorities today, here are some priorities that will help you in your Christian life, that you as a born-again believer will help you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus and be a help to the work of God. Number one, if you look down at verse 10, it says, "For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people." I want you to underline, "until everything was finished." See that thing right there? It says, "According to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over." You know what I see there plainly? First priority is number one, they were endeavoring to finish. They were endeavoring to finish. I got to thinking, I don't know how much that ark weighed. I've seen stuff written down, but I forgot the statistics on it. But I know it wasn't light. Because you had wood that was overlaid in gold and had stuff inside that thing with a thing here, and you had those staves on the side of it, and they were standing there like that all day long. The only thing I could really relate that thing to that you may have been part of is when people are a pallbearer at a casket for a funeral. Now imagine this, you're carrying something that heavy, and you start walking towards the river, and the river starts backing up. There's dry land. You say, "Man, what a miracle of God." And you get down there, now you've got to stand there all day. So what were they doing? They was waiting on the finish. 2.5 million people's got to walk by you. And there you stand. So when's the bathroom break? There wasn't one. And by the way, they didn't take one. You know how I know? The Bible says it's all dry ground. Amen. Listen. The miracle of the holding bladder. Would all our churches get in on that one? Amen. And they were standing there holding that thing like that. And there they stood. And there they stood. And there they stood. I'm sure that that thing probably got heavy along the way. I'm sure that they had to rely on somebody's strength other than their own after a while. But they all had to rely on each other, and they all had to rely on the Lord to get the job done. You must get your priorities together, and number one, you've got to endeavor to finish the work. I look down through there, and I see that they tell the workmen to stay on task. They say, when you start the job, finish the job. If you're going to make something, finish the project. If you're going to build something, make sure it gets built. They tell that gunner in the military, they say, stay on target. Don't just shoot bullets to shoot bullets. I mean, after all, we're not here to waste ammunition. We're here to make sure it hits the target we're going after. I watched one of those missiles here a while back that they sent out to hit something. And I thought, what if they told that guy, just get close enough. Don't finish, just get close enough. Don't all the way push the button, just halfway push the button. And don't worry about the target, just get close by it. Now they said, listen, you push that button, you make sure that thing is guided precisely, you make sure it hits the crosshair thing that we told you to at the exact coordinates we told you to land that thing at. They tell that gunner to do that. And we as Christians need to stay put and finish. There's a lot of folks that start out well that don't finish well. We need to finish well. We need to finish the job. Jesus has not returned for us yet. Stay on target. Stay on task. Stay with the work until it's done. Say, it's getting heavy. It's going to be heavy until the end, but stay in there. Listen, endeavor to finish what started. Make that a priority and not a, I'll do it when I can. I notice my wife, when she cooks, that stuff on the front burner she watches, the stuff on the back burner's there mainly to keep warm. We're not putting Jesus on that back burner. We're putting him up here. He's a priority. Right. We're going to make sure it's hot where God is, where the work of God is. We're going to keep that thing going and keep that thing stirred and keep it going for the Lord while we've got the chance. Amen. There may come a time in your life when you can't go on.
That's right.
You'll say, I wish I would have tried to at least finish. You can. Just keep endeavoring to finish. You got some assignments you need to make priorities. Number one, stay with the gospel. Don't ever lose sight. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that saves sinners. It's that message and that one alone that will convict the heart of sinners. It's the message of the Holy Spirit of God dealing with a lost person's heart and Him saving him and Him changing them, not you being a smart aleck to Him trying to make them do what you want them to do. Endeavor to finish the work. Stay with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, we think about that thing. We just need to stay with the Lord. Do you know that the devil has an exciting contract available for you? He'll give you anything you want just to get you not to do something for God. So what do I do about that? Keep turning the contract down. Do you know every day, I mentioned a few weeks ago, the Lord gave me some people in my life that taught me how to do credit and amortization schedules and things like that. And it was great. Now, all of a sudden, I got a new problem. You ready for this one? I don't get high percentage loan offers no more, but I've got a ton of low percentage offers. Each one of them promising me I can consolidate all my bills. I can refinance my house at a lower percentage rate. I can go on and get that money I need for that vacation, and I can do this and do that, and I can remodel even if I want to. And I treat them all the same way. I take them in hands like this and tear them right in half and put them in the filing cabinet, number 13. Yeah. Why? Don't you like remodeling your house? Sure, when somebody else does it. As long as I don't have to get in there and do it, I don't like it. I did it before, I won't do it again. Hoping I pass away before the paint gets too bad, you know, that type of thing. Hope I stay around. I hope the vinyl stays around after I'm gone. You feel me what I'm saying here? I don't want to be in all that again. I don't like that. But listen, you got to have priorities. Let's just stay with the Lord. Turn down all the devil's offers. The devil may offer you some fine things in life. Stay with the ones God give you. Endeavor to finish the work God gave you. Stay on task. Stay on target. Don't be worried about, it'd be easier doing that. Well, you're going to find out in a minute that they're going to really get a blessing from doing this.
Yeah.
They're in the middle of God's miracle right now. I mean, you're talking about in the midst of the work of God? They're in the midst of the work of God. They're standing there holding the very thing that God told them to get. And then 20 miles down the river, the thing's stacking up on itself. And here they are standing on dry ground. Say, but them 2.5 million people, they're not moving fast enough. I don't care how fast they move. They was going as fast as they could. They hastened to get through it. But them guys holding the ark, that was you guys doing the miracle right there that God was using.
Right.
So how'd they do that? I don't know. I see it said they did what the Lord commanded Joshua and Moses.
Yeah.
They just simply followed.
Right.
So you think their hands got calloused? I'm sure they did. Well, you try to hold a piece of wood like that in your hands for about 12 hours, let me know how it works out for you. I look at that and I see that they were endeavoring to finish, but if you look down in verse 11... I see it says, and it came to pass, and all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. They had priorities they were endeavoring to finish, but they were examples in the faith. Your priority for your Christian life ought to be this. You ought to have a priority to be an example to everybody in this building. Why is that? Because you can be the one that makes it or breaks it for somebody else.
Right.
When you cut up and act up and act a fool, you know what you do? You make others want to cut up and act a fool.
Right.
That's how they say it now. Act a fool. It's one word. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to be an example in the faith and not a fool. It says about these men, it said they came to pass when all the people, who saw them? All of them. Now I'll ask you something. Let's say there was four priests holding up that ark, just four. One for each front and the back and so forth like that, just four of them. And let's say they were holding that thing and one didn't show up that day. How would that ark have held up then? That guy on that side just got a lot of weight shifted on him, and so did these two guys. And the thing's doing this all day. What if two guys didn't show up?
They could have probably stood on each side of it. One got a corner, got a corner, been doing like this all day to try to keep that thing up. But when they walked into that thing, we're going to use four as our number. They had four walked in and four walked out. They didn't quit. They stayed on task. They stayed on target. They were examples to everybody else. Because I'm sure amongst some of that crowd of 2.5 million people, somebody said, I don't know if we can make it. Maybe the water will rush down by the time our crowd gets up there to walk through and we'll get washed away. Because remember, it's time to hear the things raging water.
Yeah.
I see it says that it came to pass when they were clean passed over.
Yeah.
So what's that? That's a southern expression we got from the Bible. He done cleaned up. He done went clean up yonder the top of the hill. They clean passed over. It says that they were examples in the faith. They done it in front of all the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. See, all things are done for the Lord. No matter who tells you to do them. If we look in the Word of God and see it, and we see it from the Bible, it don't matter who's doing the preaching as long as God said it.
Right.
And I see that they were examples in the faith that they could have said this. Well, now, we never heard Moses say it like that. We don't like Joshua's temperament and how he says it. He doesn't preach like Moses. But instead, what they do, they were examples. They said, he's telling us the Word of God. We're doing it. I like it when somebody goes to church and they stay there and they stay in the fight, stay in the faith, and they live for God the whole way. And when that preacher goes on, I like to see it when they bring another man in there and they say, you know what? That was God's man. This is God's man. And they get behind the man of God and say, as she was with Moses, we'll be with you also, Joshua. We're going to do things like God did. But I'm afraid too many times is we got somebody over here that says, I'm mad at Moses, and they run over to Joshua's church and they said, oh, you ain't doing it like Moses. They were examples in the faith. Not one time did they say Moses was a better preacher than you, Joshua. He gave out a better command than you. No, it says they did the same thing that Joshua commanded that Moses commanded. They were examples in the faith. Wouldn't it be good today that if nobody here would quit bragging about self and all glory, honor, and praise would just go to Jesus Christ and He'd be high and lifted up. He'd be the exalted one in your lips instead of you being the exalted one. And we could get rid of some of this selfishness and get back to being Spirit-filled Christians in this day and age. So you talk like we ain't. I'm pretty much right about that, ain't I? Spirit-filled means to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Can you testify that you're controlled by the Spirit of God today? A lot of people are going to say, well, you know, we've got a problem, we've got sin, we got that. No, that ain't how it works.
Right.
And let me put it to you plain. Either you are or you are not.
Right.
You can follow Him or not follow Him.
Amen.
Them men that stood down there and held that ark up, they were the guys that God used in a great miracle, and they were an example to everybody else. Because I promise you this, out of 2.5 million people that walked over on dry ground that day, every one of them saw their face.
Yeah.
Whether they were four or however many it was, they all saw them men. And every time you walk in those doors back there, and every time you come in here, every face in here sees you. I'm insignificant. No, you're not insignificant. That's the devil talking to you.
Right.
You're affecting everybody around you every time you do something for the Lord.
Right.
Every time you go forward for God, they notice the steps you take. Every time you give for the work of the Lord, people notice that. You're an example for others.
Yeah.
Let's not be a bad example.
Amen.
I've seen in churches where they'll stand up, these people stand up and say, this is my church. We're going to do what I want to do. Bless God, if it happens here, I'm going to take a belt and wear you out like the child you acting. So why would you do that? Because obviously your parents didn't get the job done.
That's right.
So why would you do that, preacher? That sounds so horrible. I'm 48. I really don't care anymore.
Mom.
Listen to me. Be an example, a good example. There are bad examples. Don't be one of them. And when you see somebody that's bragging about self all the time, just pray God help them realize that they're not the one that is important. It's Jesus is the reason why God does anything. Anything at all.
Right.
Do you know God can bless people and they'll take credit for what God's doing?
Yeah.
So how do they do that? Well, I notice that they do it something like this. Well, this ain't about me, but. And they'll say that 5 or 6 times. This ain't about me, but. Ain't about me, but. You sound like a goat with all that button. Start sounding like a sheep. Yes, Master, I'll do what the Lord says.
Amen.
Hey, listen, it's not wrong to brag on what God's done unless you're taking credit for it.
Right.
Well, God couldn't have blessed this church without me being here. You'd be surprised. God don't need any of us, but He did chose to use us, and we ought to be a good example of, listen, we ought to be like that craftsman screwdriver's in that toolbox. Be there to use when the man that uses the tools is going to use it. Make sure we're sharp and ready to use. Even if we're closed up in a box and we're not available to be worked at right then, when that box opens up, we're available.
Right, yeah.
Hey, be the sharpest tool in the shed. And if you can't be the most available tool in the shed.
Amen.
Amen? Listen. The priorities. Number one, they were endeavoring to the finish. It's always good to see God's work go, but it's even better when you see people finish the work. They were examples in the faith because everybody saw what they were doing. And they followed that example. But they also had another priority that got a hold of them. Look down at verse number 12. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over, circle this word, armed. They come through armed. So what'd they have? I don't know. They might have had a Sig Sawyer in one hand, a Smith and Wesson in another. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I know this, whatever they had to fight with, they had it right there with them. If you notice, they passed over armed. They started in with their armed and they walked out with their armed. See that? It says, there's armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. And it says about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord into the battle to the plains of Jericho. Here's a priority of believers. They were encouraged by the future. Because they saw those priests down there, they were endeavoring to finish the work. They were an example in the faith. 40,000 armed men of these particular tribes that Moses asked them. Now, when we get over there, y'all get the first part of the land. Y'all going to help everybody else, right? And they said, we're going to do it. Joshua brought it up again. They said, we're going to do that. But now, time's up. Are you going to do it? They didn't just pass over. They were armed on this side of it. They were armed going through it. And when they come out, they were ready to fight on the plains of Jericho when they come out that other side. What were they? Encouraged about the future. Why? They just saw God stop a river 20 miles up, make out dry land right there before Him, keep that Ark of the Covenant dry, the feet of them priests dry, and the feet of 2.5 million people dry, and they said, you know what? If God can do that, we're going to take that land.
Yeah.
They were encouraged about the future.
Yeah.
Are you encouraged about the future today?
Hey,
listen, do you know that amongst the things that we've got before us today in the work of God, we can be encouraged about every one of them. You know why? I cheated and read the last of the book, and guess what? We win.
Yeah, man. Right.
I remember as a little kid, 1977, they took us to a movie theater, and I know back then Independent Baptists against movie theaters, but this ain't 1977. Okay? But listen to me. Went in there and sat down. And they showed this boy on this desert planet. There he was, looking towards the sky, dreaming about things to come. Later on, he gets off in a spaceship. They go out there. And right in the thick of the battle, at the very end of the movie, I sat on the edge of my seat. When I saw that guy with the black helmet swoop down in there, I thought, he's going to take him out. He done blew up everybody else. He killed the old man. I sat there thinking, man, what's going to happen here? And all of a sudden, he dropped two green-colored things down the middle of a little old air vent shaft, and that thing, pow. I'm sorry, did I give away the ending to somebody? I'm sorry. That's why I didn't say no names to it. I watched that, and I was encouraged. I thought, man, that crowd's going to win now. They beat the bad guys. They'd take us over there. Listen, we'd go over on Tuesday nights in the 1980s. They'd have what they called a TV taping for the wrestling around here. They'd have all the cameras and all the people there, and that thing would be full up through the balconies, all that auditorium, that basement, that auditorium. They'd have all them wrestlers in there, and here come the bad guy.
Boy, he is mean looking. Big old guy. Big old muscles in places a man ought not have muscles. I mean, just mean. And had a mean streak as wide as his muscles. And here come Ricky Steamboat. Steamboat was a nice guy. He shook hands with all the fans down the ring. Good fella. And that mean old guy would pound on him and pound on him and cheat. Lord have mercy. I thought the NFL referees were bad when I started watching wrestling. And the fans would holler, "He's cheating." He said, "I didn't see it." And we'd think, man, Steamboat's he's getting the life beat out of him. And then Steamboat would get encouraged about the future, and he'd start fighting back. He started fighting back. We all started hollering for Steamboat. And you know what ended up happening? We got encouraged about the future because he beat that big old ugly thing.
Yeah.
We thought, well, he gets a champ in the ring. He'll be the next champ. See, there's things like that you see like that they're based on something. What are they based off of, these men with these armed men right here? They didn't walk into battle. They charged into battle.
Right.
Can I let you in on something? It wasn't even time to fight yet and they were ready to fight.
Yeah.
They were ready to roll right then. They were encouraged about the future. Bring them on.
Hey.
Roll them on out.
Yeah.
You say we're going to Jericho? Let's go right now.
Yeah.
They weren't worried about a wall. They weren't worried about what was going to happen with that. They said, bring them people on and the Amorites with them.
Right.
Bring them on. Oh, you ain't coming? We're going to cross this river and come to you. We're coming to see you.
Right.
40,000. Here's a little fact you may not know. There's 600,000 in the army, but 40,000 of them was ready to start right then.
Yeah.
All because of one thing. They were encouraged about the future. They got their priorities in order. They looked ahead and said, you know what? God did this. He's going to do greater things than this.
Right.
Can I tell you something, Christian? The day you got saved, God did a great thing. He rescued a sinner from hell that could not save him or herself.
Amen.
But on that particular day, get encouraged about the future. If he can do that, he can do anything else in your life.
Right.
Anything. So is anything too hard for God? Nothing's too hard for God. God can. Listen, these same people that passed over with their weapons are going over to fight a battle. They were encouraged about the future because they knew their father was in control of the future. I don't know about you, but I realize that we are in a horrible battle with the devil. It's life for life, blood for blood, and all that, right? He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. We're out to stand with Christ. He's out to tell lies. We're standing on the truth. Why don't we just pick up our sword and head on out there and be encouraged about the future? Because God's got the whole thing in control. The priest example encouraged these people. But God was not done with these people. So that's a great miracle right there. I mean, if the Bible cut off right there, that's pretty good. We've already seen God create the world, destroy the world, put a man in an ark and preserve his life through that flood. We see Abraham get called. He's going to make a great nation of him. And so far, they're a great nation. 2.5 million people ain't nothing to sneeze at. We see them go down into Egypt. We see them get a great deliverance by it. And we see all those things that God did down there. They crossed out. They went through 40 years of wilderness. God delivering them time after time. And now they've done this. And if God cut off right there, he could say, yeah, God has been good.
Right.
And in your life, you've seen God save you. And you could say, God has been good.
Yeah.
You can look back at your lost life without glorifying your sin and say, I should have died here. Here and definitely here.
Yeah.
Somehow you made it through that. Now you're here. And God saved you. He's got you on this side of Jordan. The Jordan ain't a picture of going into heaven, by the way. That's a picture of salvation.
Right.
Remember that ark? Can I let you in on something? Without it being wet, it was all the way under where the water would have been.
Yeah.
Death, burial, resurrection. Here they come up out of the water.
Right.
40,000 men said, we see that. We see that. Let's take a moment. In our Christian life, it didn't end at Jordan. It starts there. And if we just started right here today and said, you know what? We've had a great deliverance. God has saved us from hell. He's given us a never dying soul. He's given us free salvation by the grace of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And we could say, that has been a great thing we saw God do.
Amen.
but we're not done yet.
Right.
I remember years ago, there was this old country boy took a church down there in upper state South Carolina somewhere, and they had a TV ministry, and he got in there, and they said, "We won't preach," and he went in there and preached the devil out of them people. Half of them left. He was mad. He looked right into the camera and said, "Come on back. We ain't done yet." He figured he was watching the dials or something. We're not done yet. When we get done today, around, before, during, or after 12 o'clock, we're not done yet.
Right.
The story is yet to be told.
Right.
We've got more to do for the Lord, and we need to get our priorities in order.
Right.
We need to be encouraged about the future because God has got everything under control. Do you know there's been times in your life you've been sick and you've been so sick that you thought if that chariot swings just a little bit lower, you're going to jump in him and get in? And you know what? Somebody said, "Lord, help old such and such," and God helped you, and here you are.
Right.
Ain't God good?
Amen.
You ever been in a car wreck before? Ain't that scary? Nothing says prayer like bending metal and shattering glass. Oh, God! You know what God did? He let you get through that somehow.
Right.
He wants to get your priorities in order. Endeavor towards the finish. Be an example in the faith and be encouraged about the future because He's not done yet and He's not done with you.
Yeah.
So how do you know when God's done with somebody? Usually the best indication is they're not breathing. I've seen people out of their head in a nursing home God use. So how so? The late Dr. John Waters down there in Lawrence in a nursing home preached all them years, and he had a little walker. You know how they did them walkers in them nursing homes, have a little bag in front of them for their stuff? He'd have his Bible in there. And they'd get in there to lunch, and he wouldn't even be worried about them lunch. He didn't know what they was doing in there. He just knew he had a crowd there. It's time to preach, and he'd get his Bible out and start preaching. Countless of those nurses down there got saved because a man who was half out of his mind was preaching the truth from the Word of God. So was he preaching any crazy stuff? No, he was just preaching what he preached for 40 years. Didn't know nothing else. God wasn't done with him. So you think God would send a man in there? I think he'd send anybody there to do it because they need it. Hey, listen. I've seen God take people and use them in places they couldn't get in without the Lord's help to get in there. And then they get in there and God used them greatly. Because God is not done with you. So how do I know if God's not done with me? Breathing. Hey, so I'm in sin, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful just to give us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let God get a hold of that heart and clean that thing up.
Amen.
Call them things out to God that sin. So I'm going back to do it again, probably. Well, He said cleanse them from all unrighteousness. It may take a couple of baths, but we're going to get it washed off of you.
Yeah.
You'll get that thing away from you. Hey, listen, eventually you're going to believe in that blood of Jesus works and God's going to be able to clean you up real good.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I see that the things are not yet done in this world. So how do you know we're still here? To my surprise, we got up out of bed this morning. And every morning I wake up, I always roll back over and say, "Lord, what's this rapture happen just today, right now? Wouldn't that be good, Lord?" But it didn't happen, so we had to get up. At night when I go to bed, I say, "Lord, tonight be a good night." And it don't happen. You know why? We're not done yet.
Right.
Though the end times may be upon us, I'm not looking for Him just to get me out of it. I'm looking for what my Lord wants me to do today while I got breath in my body.
Right.
Some of you sitting here today would never been saved if somebody said, "Well, you know, we're so close to the end." The late Dr. Gerald Melton told me back in 60s or 50s when he went to seminary or whatever. He said there was men back there in that day. He said, "You know what? Jesus is coming back. We're going to quit school and go street preaching because He might be here today." Every one of them's dead and buried. What happened to them? He didn't come back yet. Do we need to tell people about the end? Sure we do. But we're not done yet. Keep your eyes, listen, towards the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But between the beginning and the end, there's right now.
Right.
You know what today's called? It's called the present. It's a gift from God. Do not use it unwisely. Use it right. Listen, Be an example to somebody. Be endeavoring to the finish of the thing. Hey, be encouraged about the future because God's not done with you.
Amen.
May we give Jesus Christ the reins and let's put the bit in our mouth and let Him ride us like the horse He's going to ride in on and be able to turn us to the right or to the left or stop us where we're at or whatever we need. Hey, listen, we all can't be raring up.
Right.
And we all can't be running. But we all can be ridden. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around.